Welcome to Christmas in Hollow Hills. We will journey deep into the legends of this awkward little town. Today's episode, The Witch of Pine Street. This podcast is presented by VCDI and TCDI. Hollow Hills was quiet that night, its streets blanketed with snow, the houses glowing softly with Christmas lights. Most of the town was asleep, resting after a long day of holiday preparations, but not everyone was celebrating the season in good spirits.
"Bet you $5 that inflatable Santa won't survive the night," whispered Toby, grinning as he and his best friend Max crouched behind a parked car.
Max snickered.
"You're on."
The two teenage boys, known around town for causing trouble, were on their usual rounds, pulling pranks, vandalizing Christmas decorations, and generally making life difficult for anyone who had the misfortune of crossing their path. Tonight was no different. They watched as the enormous, glowing Santa in the Johnson's yard inflated fully. With a wicked gleam in their eyes, they darted out from their hiding spot, pulled out a knife, and stabbed it right in the middle. The air hissed out of the inflatable, and Santa crumpled to the ground. Toby and Max burst out laughing, high-fiving each other in triumph.
"Too easy,"
Toby cackled, stuffing the knife back in his pocket.
"These suckers never learn."
They continued down the street, leaving a trail of destruction behind them. Cutting Christmas lights, smashing decorations, and knocking over nativity scenes. Hollow Hills was full of festive displays, but their true target lay ahead on Pine Street, at the very end of the block. It was a house they had always been curious about. A small, old place with chipped paint and crooked shutters. Unlike the other homes in town, it didn't boast extravagant lights or flashy decorations. It had only a modest Christmas tree sitting on the porch, barely lit with a string of flickering lights and a few hand-painted ornaments. As they approached, Max kicked at a mound of snow, his smirk widening.
"Look at this stump. Think anyone even lives here?"
Toby shrugged.
"Who cares? That tree's pathetic. Let's smash it."
They hurried up the steps, the wood creaking beneath their weight. Max picked up the small tree and shook it violently, laughing as the ornaments tumbled off and shattered on the porch. Toby kicked the pot holding the tree, tipping it over and spilling soil everywhere. They stomped on the remaining decorations, crushing them underfoot. But just as Toby raised his foot to deliver one final blow to the tree, a low creaking sound echoed from the front door, stopping him mid-kick. Max froze too, his laughter dying in his throat.
Did you hear that?"
Max whispered. Toby nodded, his heart racing.
"Probably just the wind."
But the sound came again, louder this time. A groaning, splintering noise as the front door slowly swung open. Both boys stared, breathless, as the door revealed a dark hallway, barely illuminated by the dim light of the street lamp outside. The air around them grew colder, and Toby shivered despite his thick coat.
"Let's get out of here,"
Max whispered, taking a step back. But before they could move, a shadow appeared in the doorway. A figure draped in tattered black robes, its face hidden beneath the hood.
"You think you're funny, don't you?"
A raspy voice croaked, sending a chill down their spines. Toby and Max stood frozen in place, their legs refusing to move. The figure stepped forward, closer to the faint light, revealing a gaunt, pale face with sunken eyes that seemed to pierce right through them.
"You think it's fun to ruin what others hold dear?"
The voice continued, dripping with malice. The boys tried to speak, to run, but their bodies were locked in place as if rooted to the spot. Toby's heart pounded in his chest, and sweat trickled down Max's forehead despite the freezing air. The figure, now clearly a woman, moved closer, her bony hand extending toward them. Her fingers were long and twisted, like the gnarled roots of an ancient tree. She raised a crooked finger and pointed at the ruined tree on the porch.
"This tree was a gift,"
the witch hissed, her voice low and menacing.
"It was made with love for those who have nothing left. And you trample on it as if it means nothing."
The wind picked up suddenly, swirling snow around them in a furious whirlwind. The air felt thick, almost suffocating, and the night seemed to grow darker as though the moon itself had been swallowed by the clouds.
"You must learn,"
the witch whispered, her voice rising to a terrifying crescendo.
"You must feel what it means to lose, to be without, to suffer the consequences of your actions."
And then, in the blink of an eye, the world around them changed. The boys found themselves standing in a vast, barren wasteland, the snow and trees of hollow hills replaced by endless darkness. There were no houses, no Christmas lights, nothing but cold, unyielding emptiness.
What is this?"
Max stammered, his voice barely a whisper. But before he could say more, the ground beneath them began to tremble. The shadows around them twisted and writhed, forming figures, ghostly shapes of people who looked worn, tired, and beaten down by life. They reached out to the boys, their hollow eyes filled with sorrow.
"Please,"
one of the ghostly figures moaned.
"Help us."
The boys staggered backward, their hearts pounding in terror. The figures closed in, their cold hands brushing against their skin, making their hearts race.
"We were like you once,"
another ghostly voice whispered.
"We took from others, and now we have nothing. This is your fate if you do not change."
Max let out a choked sob, falling to his knees.
"I'm sorry. We didn't mean it. Please, we'll fix the tree. We'll fix everything."
Toby, trembling, nodded in agreement.
"We'll stop. We'll be better. Just let us go."
The ghostly figures paused, their eyes searching the boys' faces. Then, with a single wave of the witch's hand, the shadows began to dissolve, and the boys were suddenly back on the porch of the old house, the cold night air filling their lungs once more. The witch stood before them, her expression unreadable.
"Go,"
she said quietly.
"And remember this night. Let it guide you."
The boys didn't need to be told twice. They scrambled off the porch, tripping over their own feet as they fled down the street, their hearts still racing. By the time they reached the corner, they stopped to catch their breath, glancing back at the old house. The door was closed again, the porch still, as if nothing had ever happened. Max wiped his brow, his hands shaking.
What was that?
Toby, still pale, shook his head.
"I don't know, man, but we're done with this. No more messing with people's stuff."
Max nodded.
"Agreed."
The next morning, the town woke to a surprise. The small tree on the old house's porch had been fixed, its lights replaced, its ornaments carefully glued back together. And sitting by the tree was a small hand-painted sign that read, "Kindness is the true spirit of Christmas." Toby and Max walked by the house later that day. Their heads hung low, their hearts a little heavier. They would never forget the lesson they had learned, their encounter with the Witch of Pine Street, and the true meaning of respect and kindness. And somewhere in the shadows of the old house, the witch watched them, her eyes gleaming with satisfaction.